I'm looking at 1 Chronicles chapter 28. We'll read the last three verses. Starting in verse 19. The Bible says, All this said David, the Lord made me understand in writing by His hand upon me, even all the works of this pattern. And David said to Solomon his son, be strong and of good courage and do it. Fear not, nor be dismayed. For the Lord God, even my God, will be with thee. He will not fail thee nor forsake thee until thou hast finished all the work for the service of the house of the Lord. And behold, the courses of the priests and the Levites, even they shall be with thee for all the service of the house of God. And there shall be with thee for all manner of workmanship, every willing, a skillful man, for any manner of service. Also the princes and all the people will be holy at thy commandments. You can be seated this morning. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning. We certainly stand in need of you. And we do thank you for this morning that you've given us. We thank you for these dear people that have come. And Lord, want to gain something and hear something from your word that might help them. Lord, for those that could not be here this morning because they're sick, I pray that you would touch them and help them. For those that are traveling or out of town, Lord, I pray that you would help them. But Lord, you brought this message for these people that are here this morning. Lord, for those that are not here, but for those that are here. And Lord, I pray that you'd help us to preach and add, Lord, the way you'd have us to this morning. With no fear, no favor of anybody sitting in here today. But Lord, we do want to be an encouragement to your people. And Lord, I pray this message would be. I pray that you'd touch us and anoint us afresh. Lord, give us something from heaven today. We need you. And Lord, if there's somebody here lost, save them. And somebody that has a need, meet that need this morning. Lord, give us clarity of mind, clarity of thought today, and clarity of speech. And we'll certainly give you the glory for it all. Help us while we might preach for just a little while. And Lord, we'll give you the glory. Save that sinner's nearest tale for these things in Jesus' name. We do ask and do pray these things. Amen and amen. As we look in 1 Chronicles chapter 28, as David is laying out to the children of Israel, he has told them that God has not only chose Solomon and that to be king, he has chose Solomon and that to build the house of God. Now, if you go back and you study the life of David, you'll find out that God gave David and that the pattern to build the house of God. He not only gave David the pattern and that how to build the house of God, but he let him store up for years and years all the things that it was going to take to build the house of God. But he would not let David build it. From verse 3, you'll find that God said, thou shalt not build an house for my name, because thou hast been a man of war and hast shed blood. And God did not want David and that to build the house of God. But he allowed his son and that Solomon to build it. And so David, before he leaves this earth, begins to lay out to Solomon how God wanted him to do certain things. You can read this chapter, and he lays it all out there in short how it's to be done. But we find that in verse 20, we find that David begins to encourage Solomon in the Word. He understood it was not going to be an easy work. He understood that there was going to be times that things was going to get hard. There was going to be times when things is not going to go exactly right. But he wanted an act to encourage his son in the Word. The word encourage simply means to give courage to. It means to give confidence of success. How many of you moms and dads has ever taught your children how to ride a bicycle and you've run behind them and held on to the back of the bicycle and was telling your child the whole time, you can do this. You can learn to ride this bicycle. Hey, it's no different, friend. You were encouraging them and telling them, look, you can do this. You know what David was telling Solomon? He said, look, God. He said, look, God has chose you, and I'm getting ahead of myself, but God has chose you to do this work, and I'm encouraging you. It means to inspire with courage or strength of mind. Now, it said to give courage. So now, the word courage simply means bravery or quality of mind that enables men to encounter danger and difficulties with firmness or without fear or depression of the Spirit. Now, we look Wednesday night and that on being discouraged. This morning, I want to look at being encouraged or to be encouraging. Now, let me say today that as God's people, we should be encouraging one another. Hebrews chapter 10 said, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. So as the day of Jesus Christ is approaching on us, and things is getting worse and worse and worse, and it's getting darker and darker in the world, we need to exhort and to encourage each other. And that to live for God and to stay the course and to be found faithful and that to God, no matter what anybody else or what anything happens out there or happens in here, we should be encouraging one another to be faithful and that to God. Amen. Listen, I want to be an encouragement to you, not a discouragement. I want to discourage you and that from sin. I want to discourage you and that from quitting, but I want to encourage you and that to go on and serve God. Now, let's look. Number one, first of all, if you look in verses 5 and 6, you'll find the plan of God. He said right here, and of all my sons, now David is talking to Israel, and he says, and of all my sons, for the Lord hath given me many sons, He hath chosen Solomon, my son, to set upon the throne of the kingdom of the Lord over Israel. And in verse 6, and he said unto me, Solomon, thy son, he shall build my house and my courts. For I have chosen him to be my son, and I will be his father. So God said, I have not only made him part of my family. You know, if you're looking at there is a great, a wonderful, and that covenant made right here. And a great, how can I say this? A great thing that we need to recognize. He said, I've chosen him to be my son, and I will be his father. I mean, the Lord had brought Solomon in and made him part of the family. Hey, when you got saved and I got saved, we were made part of the family of God. Ain't that a wonderful thought this morning? Listen, we got birthed in to the family of God. We got brought in and that by Jesus Christ the Savior, the Lord of the world. I can't wait. I've got a message for next week. If God let me preach it, and I get excited when I think about what He done for me. I do. I get plumb tore up and get excited sometimes. And I'm getting ahead of myself that He will leave the portals of glory and seen an old destitute, a 14-year-old boy that wasn't no good, didn't have no hope in this world, but He come to where I was. I get excited about that every now and again because He didn't have to. Amen. But let me get back to the message here. He said, look, He'll be my son and I'll be his father. But then He said, right here. He said, He shall build my house and my courts. He said, I've got a plan for him. And let me say today that God chose and that Solomon to build that temple and to build his courts. And David is trying to encourage him. Can I say that quickly this morning, God has got a plan for you. Now, I sound like a broken record. I've been preaching on this here for just, it seems like for the past month or two, that God's got a plan for your life. God is not a Calvinist nor a hyper-Calvinist. God hadn't laid everything out and say, this is a path you're going to travel. You've got to go this way. You know, the Calvinist says that if God chose you to be saved, then you ain't got no choice but to get saved. The Calvinist says that if God chose you not to be saved, then it don't matter. You cannot get saved. That's not Bible. Amen. We all ought to say amen right there. John 3 said, for whosoever can get saved. Revelation said, let him come and take the water of life freely. Anybody that'll come to Christ Jesus the Lord, knowing that very sinner, can get saved. Amen. The hypercalmist, if I was to fall off these steps today, they'd say, well, God, I had that plan from the foundation of the world that you were to fall off these steps. I don't believe God works that way. But I do know and I do believe that God's got a plan for you. I believe God's got a plan for this church. I believe God's got a plan personally for your life. You say, well, God ain't called me to preach, and He may not. God's not made me a great singer, and He may not. God's not made me a Sunday school teacher. He's not. I've done this and done that, but I'm going to tell you, God's got a plan for you. I'm going to deal with that here in just a little more. Well, let me deal with it right now. Can I tell you, God does call men to preach. He does call men and women to the mission field. He does make singers out of some. And listen, He does make Sunday school teachers out of some. Because you know, if you go over to the book of 1 Corinthians over there, you'll find that He talks about the gift of helps. He talks about the gift of helps. Did you know that it may not be your position or God's plan for your life to ever be in the spotlight or to ever be known or to ever know who you are? He just may put you in the background and that's to help somebody else and that serve Him. Now again, I'm getting ahead of myself, but I think sometimes we get a misunderstanding when I get to talking about the plan of God for your life, that we think that it has to be some great plan that He shined down from heaven and shined a light. And it may be that way, friend. But you know that He wants all of us to witness. He wants all of us in that to be faithful and that to Him. He does want all of us to give, not only of our tithes, but of our time. He just has a plan for you. I talked to a fellow the other day and I was doing a little work where he worked at, and he's a good old boy. And he can give me a presentation of salvation. I talked to him on more than one occasion about his salvation. I talked to him another day about it. And he'd tell me that he's saved. And I said, well, if you're saved and you know you're saved, then you know that you should be in church. Yeah, I know. And so we kept on talking there a little bit, and he said, I'm afraid that if I go to church, the Lord might find something for me to do. And in the back of my mind, I thought, the Lord's already found something for you to do, and that's why you won't go to church. And now, I don't know that, but I do know that God has a plan for His life, too. But God's got a plan for you. He's got a plan for you. He's got a plan for your children. He's got a plan for your family. He's got a plan, as I say, for this church. He's got a plan for me. Listen, He's just got a plan. And so He lays it out and that to Solomon over here. And he says, you're going to build the house of God. He said, you're going to do this. And so as we look, we find what he said. And David said to Solomon, now he's talking about his plan over here in verse 20. He said, be strong and of good courage. And then he said something right here that I love. He said, and do it. I love that right there when I read that. He said, do it. He said, whatever God has planned and gave you to do, just do it. He said, first of all, be strong. You know, sometimes in the work of God, you've just got to be strong. If you go to the book of Ephesians, take the Bible and go to the book of Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6 goes, as I'm getting ahead of myself, it's not always going to be easy to serve God. But I'll get there in a minute. But we've got to be strong. Look in Ephesians chapter 6, I believe somewhere around verse 10. We're talking about the armor of God here in Ephesians 6. Look what he said. He said, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. So listen, when he said be strong, we're strong in that to do our work, but we're going to have to look to heaven and say, Lord, I need some help right here. I want to do what You've called me to do. I want to be faithful in what You've called me to do. And I need some strength to get through it. I need some courage. Remember what I told you Wednesday night? When we get discouraged, we have the idea and the mentality of why bother? Is that not what discouragement does to us? Why bother? Why do it? Why do we do it? Because we've been commanded to do it. Amen. Right? We've been commanded to do it. That's what we need to do. He said, be strong and do it. He said, be of good courage. Remember what courage was? Bravery. I'll never forget, I know I've told you this, but I'll never forget. And so you moms and dads, don't ever think that things is going in your kids' ear and one ear and right out the other, because they're probably listening. They just won't let you know they're listening. But I'll never forget the first time that my dad ever taught me what bravery was. And I remember him saying, it's not the fact that you're not afraid to do something. It's the fact that in spite of fear, you go ahead and do it. Being brave to fight. You know, the Bible talks about valiant men, brave men that go to battle. It's not that they don't fear. It's the fact that in spite of it, they still go on. It's in the fact that I know that some of you looked around this morning and said, boy, we're thin this morning. I know you did, because I did. But I know that folk are sick. I know that some are traveling. But that don't change how you feel. And I could have got up and I could have said, why bother? And gave you just a little 10-minute message and went home. And went on. I can remember sometimes back when I first started pastoring that I would be disgusted when I'd get behind this pulpit. I'd be disgusted. And I'd get up and I'd think to myself, well, I'm glad I get to come back and try this again tonight. Now, was that the right mentality for your preacher to have? Well, no, it wasn't the right mentality for me to have. And God, in His infinite mercy and wisdom, let me pass on that. Amen. Because He understood. He understood I needed to grow, and He understood I needed some encouragement. But He said right here, be strong, of good courage. Have some bravery. Have be enabled and that even to face difficulty. To face, again, let me go ahead and deal with this now. It's not always easy to serve God. It's just not. It's not always going to go the way that we think it's going to go. It's not always going to turn out the way that we think that it's going to turn out. But I'll guarantee you this, that He has promised us that He'll see us through it all. But we're to be strong. He said, so be strong, be of good courage, and do it. He said, then you come down here, and what did He say next? He said, fear not, nor be dismayed. Do you know what the word dismayed means? It means to be deprived of courage. Now, from Wednesday night, how many knows what deprived of courage means? Discouraged. He said, don't fear and don't be discouraged in the work of God. He said, be strong, be of good courage, and do it. Just do the work of God. Just be faithful in it. Do what God has called you to do. Why? We see the plan of God in verses 5 and 6, but in verse 20 we find the promise of God. And David said to Solomon, be strong and of good courage and do it. Fear not, nor be dismayed, for the Lord God, even my God, will be with thee. He will not fail thee nor forsake thee until thou hast finished all the work of the service of the house of the Lord. So the plan that God has for you, He's going to see it through. You know, as long as you'll be faithful to see it through, God will be faithful to see it through. You know, some plans God has for you to do now, and those plans may change later on, and some plans stay the same. Wait a minute. I believe God's called me to preach, and I believe that is an eternal calling. I do. I have found nowhere where, you know, the Bible said that the calling of the Lord is without repentance. In other words, He don't change His mind about that stuff. I believe a man ain't called to preach today and not called tomorrow. It's kind of like eternal security. You get saved today, you're saved tomorrow. You're saved for all eternity. Do you know that God may want you to do something today and may not want you to do that tomorrow? Let me see if I can get this in one place. It's kind of like mission work, I guess you might say. You know, He does move people around from one place to another sometimes. I don't understand that. I don't know why
But He does that. God has a plan. I think sometimes God has to move people around because other people won't do what He wants them to do. And He finds faithful people that will be willing to do the work of God, that will be faithful and what He wants. And so He has to get some people moved over here and get some started over here simply because some people just won't go where God wants them to go. I'll never forget pastors. I remember her saying one time, she followed her husband. He come all the way from South Carolina over here to pastor. And you know, he pulled up everything he owned and left all his family and come over here. And I remember her making a statement one time. I never thought of it. She said, you know, I listen to pastors' wives talk and talk about following their husband. And now whoever God's called them to pastor. And she said, it's easy to follow your husband when he's just pastoring 15 minutes down the road from where you grew up at. But when you got to travel 6, 8, 10 hours or more than that away from home, it's one thing for the pastor to do that, but then to ask your wife to pull up everything that she knows and have her follow you too. And I never looked at it in that frame of reference or in that frame of mind. You know, it's easy to serve God, and I'm not wanting to go nowhere, Lord. It's easy to serve God in our comfortability. Ain't it? It's easy to serve God where we grew up at and in our hometown and all those things. And listen, I think the Lord wants it that way. I do think that for the most part He leaves folk where they're at to be a faithful witness where they're at. But you know, He does take people out and moves them and puts them wherever He wants to. And again, I don't understand all of that. But the promise of God. What did He say right here? He said, I'll be with you. He said, the Lord, even my God, will be with you. You know, wherever God sends you, wants you to do, whatever He does, whether He wants you to witness to your neighbor or to somebody you run into at the Walmart, whatever it may be, whatever He applies on your heart, He'll be there. That much I do know. I mean, every mile we travel, He'll be there. Every prayer we pray, He'll hear. Every time that we need a need and that fulfilled, I know that God will be there to see us through and to encourage us in the work of God. Take your Bible and go to the book of 2 Chronicles chapter 15. Now, I hope I'm being encouraging this morning. 2 Chronicles 15. Is that where I need to be? Yes. I was looking in verse chapter 14. It didn't read like I thought it should. Look in verse 1. And the Spirit of God came upon Azariah, the son of Oded. And he went out to meet Asa and said unto him, Hear ye me, Asa, and all Judah and Benjamin. The Lord is with you while you be with him. And if you seek him, he will be found of you. But if you forsake him, he will forsake you. Now for a long season, Israel have been without the true God and without the teaching priest and without law. But when they in their trouble did turn and the Lord God of Israel sought him, he was found of them. And then ain't you glad that the Bible said if you draw nigh to him, he'll draw nigh to you. And he said if they had just looked for him, they could find him. I'm determined that if you'll just look for him, you can find him. Amen? And in those times there was no peace to him that went out, nor to him that came in, but great vexations were upon all the inhabitants of the countries. A nation was destroyed, a nation and city of city, for God did vex them with all adversity. Be ye strong, therefore, and let not your hands be weak, for your work shall be rewarded. Now, ain't that a good thing? No matter what we do for the Lord, listen, if we're following Him and being where we need to be and serving Him, and that's just being faithful. Did you know the Lord does not have to reward us for being faithful? Does He just not want faithfulness out of us? In other words, just doing what we're supposed to do. Just being faithful in the work of God. But ain't it amazing that He rewards us even in the fact that we've just been faithful?
The blessings of the Lord are just amazing to me. They're just amazing. And verse 8, and when Asa heard these words and the prophecy of Oded the prophet, he took, look what your Bible says, he took courage and put away the abominable idols out of all the land of Judah and Benjamin and out of the cities which he had taken from the Mount Ephraim and renewed the altar of the Lord that was before the porch of the Lord. They have to understand they were not doing what God wanted them to do. I mean, if he had to renew the altar, the altar was broke down. If they had been without a teaching priest, they had been without the law, but he said, if you'll find God, seek God, he'll be found of you. I'm going to tell you today, if you want to know God's plan for your life, seek him. Find out what God wants out of you. If you know what God wants out of you, do it. Is that not what he told? Is that not what David told Solomon? He said, do it. If you know what to do, do it. And we do what we know to do until God tells us something else. Ain't that right? Is that not, if y'all that's been in the service, is that not how it worked? Have you just done your last order until you got new orders? And that's the way it works for the Lord. We do our last orders until we get new orders. And so he said right here in the Word of God, he said, look, Asa was encouraged when he heard the Word of God. When God come by and said, look, if you will just do these things, he'll be found of you. Now that's what I'm trying to get you to see. If we'll just follow the Lord and do what we need to do for him, he'll be found of us. He'll be there. He'll be there to open doors. He'll be there and that to make a way when there is no way. He'll be there and that to see things through. The Bible said in Deuteronomy, he said, when thou goest out to battle against thine enemies and see his horses and chariots and the people more than thou, be not afraid of them, for the Lord thy God is with thee, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. Genesis chapter 28, I believe he's dealing with Jacob right here. And he said, behold, I am with thee, and I will keep thee in all places whither thou goest, and will bring thee again into this land, for I will not leave thee until I have done all that which I have spoken of thee. God said, I'll bring it to pass if we will just follow him. He said, he will not fail thee. If we go back to the text verse, he said, he'll not fail thee. He'll be with thee. He will not fail thee. In times of battle, he'll be there. Gideon found that out, didn't he? Gideon struggled. I can see myself as Gideon. Man, I can. Lord, is this really what you want me to do? And as a little trial, he goes out there in the night time. Remember that? He said, go down there and tire your daddy's altar to Baal down. He says, go down there and tire it down. And you know what he done? He waited till night time. He was fearful. And he waited till the night time to go down there and do it. I'm thinking, that's me right there. I'd have to wait till the dark of night, the cover of darkness, to get down there and do it. And he took him some men with him on top of that. I'd have to have some help. I'm just telling you how I am. By the way, the Lord did send his disciples out two by two, did he not? There was a reason for that. I think that's good for us to know too. Especially if we're going to go out door knocking, by the way. There's some reasons to have at least two when you go. One, you need somebody to stand between you and that dog, don't you, Jeremy? Amen. He can tell you that story. I'll tell you what the Lord done. I went to see a fellow that I went to high school with here a couple of years ago. His daddy had asked me to come and see him. I didn't realize the boy was lost. I just knew he was out of church. His daddy had asked me, would you come and talk to him? And I prayed about that and prayed about that. Lord, when do I need to go? Because I think there's a good time to go. Amen? Good time to go. Any time would have probably been good, but there's a right time to go. And so, I drive down there to his house. He don't live far from us, maybe about 10 minutes. So I pull up in his driveway there. He lives behind his mom and daddy's place. And I pull up in his driveway and I hear his air conditioner going in that single wide trailer. And I just walk up on the front porch. I ain't paying attention to nothing that's going on. I just walk up on the front porch and I knock on the door. And he opens the door and there he is. And he says, I'm surprised that you got up here on the front porch. I said, why? He said, well, look right there.
Man, they was the meanest old looking dog sitting about 3 feet from me. I never paid one attention. Not one bit of attention to that dog. And I never see it. Had I paid attention to it, I'm not sure I'd have even got out of the car. But he said, I can't believe that that dog didn't tire you up. And I'm thinking, me too now. You know what? I got in his house. I'm talking about being there at the right time. I got in his house. And I said, where's your girls at? He's raising two girls. His wife got divorced. And he was raising two girls. And he said, well, Mom and Daddy took them down to the dirt barn and that to get some ice cream. I'm just here by myself right now. And I'm telling you, the Lord had a plan, you see. That's the kind of stuff that I'm talking about. I'm not saying God's going to call you to preach. I'm just saying God had a plan for that afternoon. Now do you see where we're going with some things? God just had a plan. And I talked to him about church there for a little while. And just something asked me. He said, you need to talk to him about salvation. And I asked him. I called him by name. I said, Jeff, you ever been saved? He said, no, I've never been saved. And you know, that guy said, and I thought to myself, we're going to have to change this conversation. And so I started witnessing to him about what the Lord could do for him. And you got to understand, he grew up in a preacher's home. He grew up in church. He knew about all that, stuff. But he had never got saved. And still to this day, I don't believe the boy's got saved. A buddy of mine ran into him probably about a month later, ran into him out town. And this is how hard he is. My buddy had invited him to church and I wanted him to come to church with him. And he said, I will make you no promises. Now that's how he feels. But God had a plan. I have no doubt God had a plan. He shut that dog's mouth up. Boy, I'm proud about that. Amen. But he said, what? I'll not fail. He didn't fail me that day. I'll be honest with you. Hey, in the battle, God will not fail you. In the night time and in the worrisome times, when things are out of our control and we can see no end, we don't know what to do, we don't know where to go, listen, God will be there to help us. As I said, it's not always easy. When I studied this, I thought about the work of God, the plan of God. I thought about Nehemiah. Remember the story of Nehemiah? Nehemiah, he was the cupbearer. And he told the king over there, he said, I need to go back to my homeland, Israel. I need to go down there and help them build the walls and get that thing started. You know, Ezra, he has laid the foundation to the temple down there. And we need to build in that the walls. So that Nehemiah gets down there and he goes out of the night time. He didn't want nobody to know what he was doing. And he was observing how the walls were tore down. And you read that story and you find as they begin to go to work, you find that the Bible said that there was much rubbish in the way. You remember that Nebuchadnezzar had come in there and burned the whole city down and tore it down. And they were going to have to rebuild these walls, pick them back up off the ground, get rid of all the trash, and begin to build this wall. And not only did he have much rubbish in the way and much work that had to be done by coming to build the walls, and then he said some of the nobles wouldn't work. He said they wouldn't put themselves to the burden over that. So now he's got work that needs to be done. He's got some that don't want to work. And then on top of that, he's got to deal with Sanballat and all the enemies that are coming from the outside coming in. But God's plan was for Nehemiah to build that wall. What am I talking about right now? He will not fail thee. Did they not build that wall in 52 days? Was it 52 days or 56 days? We can go back to the book of Nehemiah and find out. I believe it was 52 days that they built that wall. And he remembered that God would not fail him. What did David tell Solomon? He'll not fail thee, nor will he forsake thee. He's not going to leave us. He's not going to put us in the work and bail out on us. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 says, for we're laborers together with God. If we'll do our part, He'll do His part. He said, let your conversation be without covetous and be content with such things as you have. For He said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee.
Well, I about got excited when I was reading in Isaiah 46. I was studying for this and I was looking at verses about when He wouldn't forsake us. Isaiah 46, He told the nation of Israel there, He said, "And even to your old age, I am He. And even to whore hired, will I carry you." In other words, when you hire us, why? He said, "I'll carry you. I have made and I will bear. Even I will carry and will deliver you." He said, "I'll be with you to the very end. Even when you get old, I'll be there." Ain't that something? He said, "I'll not forsake thee." That ought to be encouraging to us. Can I ask you something? How many have ever got started on the plan of God and get in the middle of that thing and wonder if that was the plan of God? Preacher, you surely don't thought, "Oh, yeah." You ever been that way? Did I ever tell you that story about that time? We met a lady. I'm going to leave that alone. I'll dig a hole I won't be able to get out of. Anyway, my wife told me that wasn't in the plan of God. That's for sure. We met a lady one time at the drugstore. She's a little tough to get along with. And I avoided her. And I felt bad about avoiding her. I really did. You know, there's some people you're better off if you do avoid. I'll be honest with you. You're better off. Not that you don't love them and that you wouldn't help them, but something, you know what Jeremiah said? There was a feller that he worked with every morning that it was bad, wasn't it, brother? Every morning he'd come into work. It was bad. Hey, I'm getting real sidetracked. Now, when I helped take over a business one time with a feller to get some things straightened out and get things going, and the previous owner, he said, they had a cat in their building. And I asked, I said, "Does the cat come with it?" He said, "Yeah." And we asked him about why he had the cat. And he said, "That cat showed up here one morning." And he said, "We had a feller that worked for me." He said, "He was mad at the world every morning when he come in." And he said, "When that cat showed up," he said, "that made all the difference in that man's life." He said, "He loved on that cat every morning when he come in." And he said, "That changed his whole demeanor being here at work." And he said, "We just kept the cat." He said, "It changed him," and said, "We just kept the cat so that we could keep a good employee." But anyway, we met this lady, and I avoided her, and I got to feeling bad about that. And so I went and found her back in the drugstore, and she walked out. And I'm just going to tell you, make a long story short, by the time we got done talking, that conversation had turned bad. It really had. It had turned bad. And I'll never forget, when we got back in the car, Kelly looked at me, and she said, "I don't think God was in you going back in there and talking to her." And I looked at her and I said, "I think you're exactly right. I don't think God knows no more about that." What I'm saying is, when we get to where God wants us to be at and doing what God wants us to be, He'll never forsake us and He'll never leave us. You know, it's okay to have a little humor in your Christian life too, by the way. Because if you don't have a little humor, Mary Hart doth good like medicine, the Bible said, you're going to drive yourself crazy. And I look at myself a lot of times and I tell the Lord when I go to pray, "Lord, I know you're tired of hearing from me. I know you're tired of it because all I ever ask is that I ask." I just go and ask a lot of things. "Lord, am I headed down the right path? Are we going the right way? Are we doing the right things?" And I just ask. And I think sometimes He gets tired of hearing from me, but He never tells me that. Then I want you to look, last of all, number 3, and I'm going to close. We find the plan of God in the first part of the chapter. In verse 20, we find, the plan of God. Then we find the promise of God to fulfill the plan of God. But in verse 21, we find the people of God. "And behold, the courses of the priests and the Levites, even they shall be with thee for all the service of the house of God, and there shall be with thee for all manner of workmanship, every willing, skillful man, for every manner of service, also the princes and all the people will be holy at thy commandment." Let me put it to you a simple way. I'm the pastor here, but I can't do everything. I just bring it down. Somebody got to teach Sunday school. Somebody got to lead singing. Somebody got to take up the money. Somebody else got to do some of the work. And you know, it took me about 6 months worth of pastoring And it ain't like I learned everything, but I'm going to tell you, there was a light bulb when, and I'm about remembering. There was a light bulb went off in my head that it's like, you can't do this by yourself. I'll never forget that. And I'll never forget when the Lord just showed you can't do it. You know, if you go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, you'll find out that He has laid out different jobs in the body of Christ. You know. Some's the ear, some's the eye. The seeing and the smelling and the hearing and all that. Everybody's got a place in the body of Christ. Now, He said, look, Solomon. He said, I've called you to do the work. God's got a plan for your life. Maybe today, He's got a certain plan. He may want you to go visit with somebody. I don't know. I don't know what His plan is. But I will know this, that sometimes when we become discouraged along our way and we're faltering and we're failing, have we ever just been in a bad place in life in serving God and the Lord just sends somebody by? Just send somebody by out of the blue to encourage you. Has that ever happened? It's happened to me. Or you get a card in the mailbox. Or you get a card at the nursing home. Y'all know about that card. I'm just saying God's got His people. He said, look. He said, Solomon. He said, the priests and the Levites, they're going to do their job in the house of God. That's not your job. That's their job. They're going to do it. Your job is to build a house. He said, but they're going to labor like they're supposed to labor. Look what else He said. And there shall what? He said, and there shall be with thee for all manner of workmanship every willing, skillful man for every manner of service. He said, Solomon, everybody you need to work will be out there. They'll do the work. They'll help you get it accomplished. You know, God may put you into a plan somewhere that it may just be me. It may be more than you to get it done. Let me put it to you in a broad circumstance, in a broad way. If we're going to win Athens, it's going to take more than you to do it. It's going to take more than me to do it. We're going to have to do it together. I believe this church could win Athens if we'd try. If we'd try together. I really believe that. I believe we could win Athens. I believe you can win your community and act to the Lord if you'd try. He said, look. He said, there'll be people there to help you work, Solomon. To help you get it done. Vain all of us can do it all. Vain one of us can do every bit of it. We got to work together. Again, 1 Corinthians 3, for we're laborers together with God. You're God's husbandry. You're God's building. We have to work together. And then he comes on down here and he said, also, the princes and all the people will be holy at thy commandment. You've got everybody to help you, Solomon. He said, everybody will be there. So I asked you this morning, there's two questions on encouragement. Do you need encouragement or do you give encouragement? I would rather be the one that could encourage somebody. Come by and say, hang in there. Let me tell you what God's done for me. Let me show you what God's done. And hang in there and be faithful. I can show you what faithfulness costs. And I can. I can show you what faithfulness costs. But there are times in our life that we just need encouragement. He said right here, he said, look, Solomon, there's a plan. God's got a plan for your life. Just do it. He'll be there. He'll see you through it. And he'll send people through to help you get the job done. Just need some encouragement. Let's bow our heads this morning. I don't know where you're at with the Lord and with the plan that God's got for your life. Even sometimes for me to go witness and to go soul winning, I need some encouragement. Sometimes I just need encouragement. Say, Lord, I just need some courage to open my mouth. I just need some courage. I need some boldness. And I need some strength to go fight. Let me ask you this, church. Do we not get beat down so much by the world? I don't want to have a pity party, and I don't want to get into the woe is me situation, but do we not get beat down by the world in service for the Lord? Don't ever get discouraged. But find encouragement in Him. And know that if He's called you to do it, whatever it may be, He'll see you through it, friend. If you need to come and pray, I want you to come this morning. If you've never been saved, this morning would be a good morning for you to come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior.